Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. There's an event that happened this past week that got me to thinking about a particular subject, and I started looking at some different things concerning that and thought tonight would be, as this event happened, would be a good time to address this particular topic. Many, if not all of us, know who Robin Williams was. The man was a comedian, but at the same time, many of his movies were vulgar. Christians had no business watching a lot of his movies. But as I looked through social media and I saw the response to it, it brought an attention to something greater than just the loss of someone's life. And a topic, friends, I'm not sure that I've ever heard a sermon from the pulpit on that probably needs to be addressed on a more regular basis. And that's the idea of the Christian and depression. And I have to admit that I've got very little understanding of this thing called depression. I try to be sympathetic to those who suffer with it. Few of us are sympathetic a lot of times until it touches us or unless it touches us personally. I had a cousin that committed suicide as well. I began to look at things a little bit differently then, but friends, while the Bible, as I thought about this particular topic, you know, I can't find necessarily the word depression in God's Word. So how do we address it? And while the Bible doesn't use that word verbatim, it speaks of it. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, 5 and 6. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Notice what the psalmist says here. And I believe it's in the American Standard. It talks of a sunken spirit. Here it talks about his soul being cast down. Verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar." Friends, here we have a person with a sunken spirit, a cast down soul, so to speak. This is not just discouragement, as it is so many times in David's Psalms. This is not just discouragement, rather a prolonged period of despondency that destroys one's ability to function as a happy, healthy person. Recognized mental disorders are cataloged in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. And the list seems to grow with every edition of that particular book. And the causes of some of these are rooted in biology. That is, chemical imbalances within one's body, within one's brain. But far more are rooted in sin and the guilt associated with it. After over a century of psychology and psychiatry, can the world not get well? People are turning from the Savior of the cross to the psychiatrist's couch, so to speak. They're being shown ways to accept their sins rather than turning from them. And friends, some in church, some in the religious world today have turned to pop psychology, philosophy, and sociological drivel. So why, after 2,000 years of the gospel, can the world not get well? Well, friends, let's ask this question. Did the founder of Christianity ever promise that he would make the world well, so to speak? The answer is no. Turn with me to John chapter 3 for a moment. John chapter 3. Look at verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so we see the world rejects Christ. Now the question is, why some Christians are not better off than our sinners when it comes to this idea, this disease, I guess you might say, to a degree, with depression. Friends, we want to approach depression from three standpoints in this particular lesson. Number one, I want us to talk for a few moments about common myths about depression. The first myth, someone says it's wrong to be depressed. Friend, that's a myth. Many of us have known model Christians that have and do suffer from depression. This is something that's real and it's something that's got to be dealt with. You look at some of the faithful men of God, even that are mentioned within the pages of the Bible, and what we see here, you look at Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah was going along just fine until 1 Kings chapter 19, after he had faced off with the prophets of Baal. He had killed the prophets of Baal, and now he thinks that he's all alone. He's scared of Jezebel and her threats against his life, and he goes and he hides in a cave. And friends, if we look at Elijah at that point in his life, would anyone argue that he's not depressed? He asked God to kill him. God had to show him something to live for. And the Lord showed him many things to live for. Notice that God went to Elijah, and when he did not scold him for saying, "Woe is me," for throwing himself a pity party. But rather, he showed him the other side of the coin. Myth number two. Someone says, depression is a moral weakness. Someone else, even one that's affected by depression, might say, well, if I could just be a better person, I wouldn't feel this way. Well, friends, good people suffer physically. And good people are going to suffer at times mentally. We have to understand that. Myth number three, someone says, if one takes God at His word, he or she will never be depressed. Friends, we just talked about Elijah. Did Elijah take God at His word? Absolutely he did. But he still fell into a state of depression. Something he had to claw his way out of. He had to fight back, so to speak, and get over that. We don't employ this idea that if one takes God at His word, that he or she will never be depressed. We don't employ that same logic with other medical conditions. We don't take that and say something like that. Jesus said, the sick need a physician. Matthew 9 and verse 12. Might that include a mental as well as a physical physician? Let me ask you this, man. Can God work through doctors and medicines? Absolutely He can. God can work through doctors and medicines. Someone else says, myth number four, depression is due to a lack of faith. Friends, I've never known a person's faith to cure his back problems or a heart disease. It may be that some Christians suffering with depression are better Bible students than are most of us. Someone else says, well, myth number five, it's just your situation. We think that if one's situation is good, his or her life ought to be good. But friends, we can't control all that happens to us. But we can control what we do with it. Someone else says, myth number six, depression is all in your head. Friends, there are folks that are depressed who have a genetic factor. We have to take that into consideration. There are those who suffer from a chemical imbalance in their brain, as I mentioned a few moments ago. This is an actual medical condition. This is something that folks actually suffer with. And they need help. And we want to offer it wherever we can. Number two, what about the causes of depression? We mentioned just a moment ago the biological factor. Let me give you a couple of numbers here. A person is six times more likely to be depressed if one parent is or was depressed. Biology is a broader field than just genetics and body chemistry. General health is also a factor. Serious illness can bring on depression. Diet, sleep, and exercise can affect our moods. And so biology is a factor. Psychology, the psychological part of it is a factor. What we think affects our feelings, and depression, friend, is a feeling. It's an ongoing, a sunken spirit, as we read, a soul that has been cast down, as we read there in the Psalms. If someone is constantly having negative thoughts, I'm no good, I'm worthless. Nobody cares about me, I can't do anything right, and my life is hard, I can't stand it, I can't change it. Because that person needs our help. They need encouragement. And at the same time, friend, we have to take into consideration, what has that person been hearing all their life as well? Has someone been in their ear telling them that they're worthless? That they're not a good person? And so their self-worth is in the dump. Some positive answer to those, friends, are these. God says, I'm valuable. Friends, God places value on each and every soul. He is not willing that any should perish. He loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son. So how valuable are we? God says, I'm valuable. Those that are suffering from depression need to know that Christians really do care. We want to help you through it. And we need to show them that they indeed do many things right. And they can try harder. Life is hard. But as long as we're drawing breath, we're not dead yet. Things can change. There are sociological factors as well. When so many things work against us, it might be that we fall into a depression. Again, you think about Elijah and everything that man was facing. He didn't know where else to turn but to God, and he got to the point he didn't know what to do with himself. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, Jezebel was threatening to take his head. And so finally he prayed to God, just kill me. I'm the only one left. Just kill me. I'm a dead man anyway. If Jezebel gets her hands on me. Friends, let me ask this question. How do we handle problems? But then there's also a spiritual factor, friends. It would be depressing to anyone not to find meaning in life. People suffer mentally because they've turned from the Savior of the cross to the minister of the couch. Psychology finds ways for people to accept and adjust to their sins while ignoring the great physician. Sometimes the church becomes a marketing place for pop psychology, philosophy, and sociological. Friends, folks need Christ, and they need God's Word. And it doesn't matter what some psychologist says as you're sitting on that couch. If they leave God out of it, then the picture's not complete. What are some outcomes of depression? Number three. We find some of them in the Bible. The sorrow of the world, Matthew 27 and verse 5, caused Judas to go out and hang himself. 1 Samuel chapter 31, and we see King Saul there falling upon his own sword. Now granted, he was in battle, he had nowhere else to turn. Wanted his armor bearer to do it. But he wouldn't. And then there are others who live sad, lonely, misspent lives, wishing that they had never been. Those are some negative outcomes of depression. What about the positive? Is there a positive? Well, we'll continue to go back to Elijah because I think he's probably the best example that we can see of someone overcoming this feeling of depression, this being distraught to such an extent that he would wish that his life would be taken. Elijah learned not to focus on Jezebel, but rather on the work that lay ahead of him. God gave him a job to do. He was to go and anoint Hazael king over Syria. He was to go and anoint Jehu king over Judah. He was to anoint Elisha as the prophet to succeed him. He gained another focus, a greater purpose in life as he saw it. And of course, what do we know was the outcome with Elijah? He was one of only two men never to taste death. God took him. Friends, I've known gospel preachers and elders for that matter who admitted that they had suffered with this and sought treatment. And they're doing much better today because of it. This is a real problem. And sometimes Christians are going to face it. But friends, know this. Let's go back to our original passage. Let's go back to Psalm 42. And I want you to notice the reaction of this man as he is even battling depression. It's as if he's having this conversation with himself in verse 5. And look what he says to his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He has a question for his soul. And why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I feeling so depressed? And so he speaks to his soul. Look at the next phrase. Hope thou in God. Friends, let me ask this. Is there hope in Christ Jesus? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Christ gives us something and someone to live for. And friend, let me say this. If you're here this evening and you suffer with depression, know that you have family here. That you have folks here that care about you. That want to see you succeed. That you have purpose in this life. God has given us that. The psalmist writes about it. The Hebrews writer tells us concerning our faith that we are to have hope in Christ. But I want us to look at one other passage. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and look with me at verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We sing the song sometimes, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Friends, we have hope in Christ Jesus. As He is the great physician, there is a balm in Gilead, no doubt. And we have that great physician who can apply that balm to His hurting people. And friends, part of that balm is the unity that we have in Christ. Being brothers and sisters in Christ that we can draw upon one another's strength. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, let's not make light
of the things that folks struggle with, as we sometimes want to do. But let's lend a sympathetic ear, maybe a shoulder to cry on from time to time. And friend, again, as I said, if you're here tonight and you suffer from depression, know that you have family here that wants to help in any way that we can. But friend, know as well that you have a great physician that is waiting to apply balm to the sin-sick soul. So friend, if you're here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you find the hope that you need? Do you believe that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost? That He came and bled and died upon the cross for the remission of your sins? Would you, friend, repent? Confess Him before all those here tonight and then go and live for Him. Be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Allow Christ to apply that balm to heal your sin-sick soul. Friend, are you here this evening having obeyed the gospel, but for whatever reason, you've gone back to the world? Would you come home? Would you be His again? Allow God to restore your hope that is found in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you have a need, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, or friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?